Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 224, a little bonus episode for you guys here this week, going into the new year, here again with the feverish Fanero and myself, Dave, still enjoying some time away with the family. I am now in charge of Dave's PR, actually. I'm his public relations friend. And if you look on Twitter, you'll see why, because Dave called himself a lazy ass and said that's why he wasn't with us on episode 223. And I said we handled it a lot better here on the show than he did. And the truth is, Dave's with his family doing a lot of Christmas stuff. First year with that new baby boy, like we said on the last episode. So, Dave, you work hard all year. Don't talk to yourself in ways you don't want other people to talk about you.
I miss feverish. That. I miss
How
that.
The hell are you?
That's very far from the truth. I think What's he was that? Even him missing the episode and noting laziness. I think he was even going to give it a college try, if you will. And I think internet was spotty, and we gave him the week off. And I think he's enjoying himself that much more for it.
Yeah, just like he's not even at home, like you just said. His internet is spotty because he's not even at home. Like, he is with his family.
How is that lazy, Dave? Stop.
And Dave is up early every morning crushing his stats just to get them out for people. And I know nobody said Dave's lazy except himself, but Dave is crushing those numbers to get him out for you before he goes to work. So, again, Dave, don't talk about yourself in ways you don't want other people to talk about you.
Definitely grinding all year long.
So we're here with the top 10. A little bit more shine to some of these names.
Oh, yeah.
Kick this off with our one and only Patpocalypse Now, Pat Freiermuth, tight end 14. That should totally be his nickname.
You're like the tight end nickname whisperer, dude. Hawk Smash. Now we're here.
I mean, how much cooler is that than Muth?
I love it.
Or Big Muth or some of this. I mean, yeah. It's got to be Patpocalypse Now. Let's make that happen, Rookie Fever Nation. Tight end 14, 157.7 points, averaged 11.3 on the week, missed a game, only 422 yards. He's got those 7 touchdowns. I'm really feeling pretty good about Freiermuth as a tight end moving forward. Can't quite squeeze him into like that top 5 area, though. Like
top 5 dynasty tight end?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Swags, I have revolving around that subject, rookie trivia for you this week.
Whoa. Killing
Whoa, is that what it sounds today. Like when it comes from me? It's like a double drop?
That's
nice.
That's the new one.
I think I like that one better. All right. Swags, rookie trivia. How many dynasty top 10 tight ends have more fantasy points than Freiermuth in their rookie season? And just to help you out a little bit, that top 10 would include names like Kelsey, Andrews, Hockenson, Kittle, Waller, lots of guys. So how many dynasty top 10 tight ends have more fantasy points than a Freiermuth in the rookie season?
5.
The answer is 1.
Wow, really? Is it Evan Engram?
It's Kyle Pitts.
Oh, no. Oh, duh.
The number is 1. Kyle Pitts is the only...
Wow.
Rookie tight end with more fantasy points, 1 through 16, in the top 10.
Yeah.
Evan Engram had 205.6 his rookie season. And I think, Freiermuth's at 157.75?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty remarkable. I think the one thing that I most recently have been saying about Devonta Smith is absolutely how I feel about Freiermuth. And he's in Kyle Pitts' shadow this year. And I feel like we're just not recognizing what he's actually accomplished.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think he's even in like a little bit of a shitstorm in Pittsburgh too, and people watching that getting excited about Deontay wanting Claypool to be the guy, and Freiermuth has kind of sneakily just been that guy on the team when they needed him and surpassed Ebron right away, which surprise. Missed last week. That was his one game miss, but dude's had a heck of a season. I do feel like cost to acquire is he's pretty rich. Because I've tried, but I tried when he was a little bit hotter too. I don't know what it'll look like in the off season, but I feel like people that have Pat Freiermuth like Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah. He's DLF's top 10 and he is number 10.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that feels right when I'm looking at those names. Pitts, Kelsey, Andrews, Hockenson, Kittle, Waller, Goddard, Fant, Gesicki.
Goddard just looked good the last few weeks.
Yeah, he has.
100 games in a couple in a row, right? 100 yards in a couple in a row.
I feel like I'm as excited about Freiermuth as I am Fant at this point.
I think that's fair.
Right? I think that's saying something.
Noah Fant might even be easier to acquire.
I think so, too.
At this point.
Yeah, I agree.
Pat Freiermuth Nation. Those are probably our Brandon Lejeune guys out there that are very attached to Pat Freiermuth. So, are you ready for number 9?
Oh, please say number 9's name.
Be sure to go get some Pat Freiermuth, though. Number 9, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I feel like he needs to be here. Like, we need him on the show. And then it's no tease. Like, he's not, like, stepping up behind me here. How cool would that be? But I feel like he needs to be here. Like, he needs to hear us say his name. Wide receiver 31. I don't think anybody saw that coming. On the season, 106. I mean, we were excited about him. We were.
I absolutely did not see this coming, and I can't say that I was ever particularly excited about him. I'll say those two things. I think I called him, what's that other Detroit wide receiver you guys have? Quinton Cephas.
Mm.
Not too many weeks ago, called Amon-Ra just another Quinton Cephas, which is unfair to Quinton Cephas, to be honest. He's on IR all season, but regardless, Amon-Ra St. Brown is now on the Twitterverse being called ARSB. You don't get a short, cool, well, I don't know how cool it is, but you don't get those little three-letter or four-letter unless you are typing that name out over and over again. And people are typing this guy's name out over and over again because, as you pointed out in your rookie trivia last week, nobody has, what is it? Nobody has more, what was that trivia question? It got me. I thought it was Odell Waddle.
Beckham.
Yes.
He has the four games with 8 catches in a row.
In a row.
And that tied Odell Beckham's rookie record. And that's in a row. So, I mean, quite a feat. He's also the first rookie since 1955 to have 2 90-yard games in a row.
Oh, wow.
He has 692 yards on his rookie season. Fantastic. Detroit's record is Roy Williams at 817.
Oh, I remember him.
Megatron had 756. So a 70-yard game, I'm not comping him to Megatron, has him beating Megatron's record this week. There's one more game in the season, and Amon-Ra has been fortunate enough to only miss one game. But still, he's on pace to beat that record.
And in that 4-game stretch, Swags, 2 different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And one of them's Tim Boyle.
Right.
And that's what I just wanted to say super quick is I actually benched Amon-Ra last week in a semi-playoff game because Tim Boyle was the quarterback. I thought that was like, you know, a good process. Like Tim Boyle had pretty much fell on his face the one game he played without Goff. And I put A.J. Dillon in instead and I lost that semifinal game and I would have won if I had put Amon-Ra in. So,
yeah,
that one hurts hard.
74 receptions, a Detroit rookie record.
Whew, 74.
He has 7 games with 4 catches in a row, also a rookie record. 10 total with 4, but he has 10 total with 4 in a row, also a rookie record. Actually, I don't think the 10 total is, but the 4 catches 7 games in a row is a record. This dude is putting up Detroit records like and almost an afterthought in a crazy way, like for what he's actually done. Like a lot of people think this is just going to go away. I don't. Now, I think we've seen his ceiling the last couple weeks. I don't think that Amon-Ra St. Brown is the next wide receiver, top 12 wide receiver for our dynasty leagues. That's not what I'm saying. I actually am I'm the guy that wants to see the healthy Hockenson, the healthy Swift, and another wide receiver out there with Amon-Ra St. Brown, because I think he's earned a role on this team and he could do good with a little pressure off of him. But I think they've shown that they like Amon-Ra. They're starting to trust him. The targets show. Something happened to Detroit, and they got mad, and they decided they wanted to try to win the last few games of the season. And they're showing us how they want to try to win, and they're using him to do that.
That's a Swiftless team, too.
Yep.
So
he's back this week.
Yeah, so that's exciting. And I think you nailed it pretty much on all those accounts as far as like what he's earned. I think a lot of people are going to look at the targets, and it's weird to use the word blame, but blame the targets or point to the targets as the reason he's successful. And I think people forget, and I know Dave doesn't, but the targets are earned. They're earned through separation. They're earned through trust. You don't get targets unless you're open. You don't get targets unless you're catching the football. So this is not just a product of a lot of targets going his way. He's efficient with those targets. He's trusted, like you said. And I don't see any of that going away. The only thing that's going to change for him potentially down the road in his young career is maybe a better quarterback. Like you said, those powerful offensive weapons on either side are just going to help him get better coverage. He's probably getting the best coverage from every team at this point without Hawk. So, I don't think that his target share going from, say, 11, 12 and 13 targets, which he's getting now, is going to affect his young career. I think he's going to just have that much easier of a time capitalizing off of easier coverage.
Yep. I mean, you even look at the next player on the list, and again, not a comp, but somebody that gets a lot more hype, Devonta Smith, with his 94 targets, four less targets, but only 58 receptions to Amon-Ra's St. Brown's 74. He does have a lot more yards, the 821, he's Devonta Smith is so efficient once he catches that ball, but does not have the same catch percentage that Amon-Ra does, but not even really close if you think about it.
Yeah, I've said it a few times that Smith and what he's done this season gets a little overshadowed by Chase and Waddle, and I say that because he was drafted around that same exact spot where Amon-Ra was not. Amon-Ra was selected in the third round of your rookie drafts. Devonta Smith, to earlier points you've made, has been a little sporadic. He's had some boom weeks and he's had some really, really low weeks. So it made him a little hard to trust season long. But he did go 5 for 80 yards and a touchdown just last week versus the Giants. And Washington next week is an even better matchup. So I think he finishes strong here. Like you said, he's 58 for 821 and 5 touchdowns. That is just a great rookie season. I think that's what we're missing here. And he's on an offense that struggled to identify itself all year long. They were running the ball 3, 4, and 6 times a game. And then now all of a sudden they're a run first team. They were trying to figure it out with a first year coach, a first year coaching staff, and honestly, a QB that runs a lot better than he throws. And we still see the success. As of week 16, he has 191.6 fantasy points on the season. Let's just compare that to 2018. Calvin Ridley had the same amount of points. 2019, Terry McLaurin, like 0.2 points more. 2020, T. Higgins, 3 more points. He's in that echelon.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't cherry pick those names. These are dynasty assets. I mean, Calvin Ridley, outstanding, obviously. There's some circumstances there, but these are very valuable wide receivers.
Yeah, to your point, too, even if you go back to Bateman and what we've talked about Lamar Jackson quite a bit, with Jalen Hurts, like you said, like, I mean, the targets aren't as nice to Smith, whether we like it or not. He's a... Yep. Better runner than a thrower. Those are the targets that Smith's dealing with. It's kind of similar to what we might see in Bateman.
Mm-hmm.
But he's done pretty good with it. Similar to even like a Hollywood Brown last year, probably with Lamar Jackson. But Devonta Smith is doing it in year one. So good Fair to point. See. Devonta Smith or Elijah Moore?
You've asked me this on the show before.
I know. I'm going to probably ask you it forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I'm going to ask you it when they're 3-year wide receivers.
Because I have similar concerns about both with the quarterback. I'll probably lean Elijah Moore. And then tomorrow you'll ask me and I'll go Devonta Smith.
We'll see what you say when they're third-year wide receivers.
That I'm looking forward to. And I think you'll be happy with both.
Number 7, curious how you feel. Both you and Dave were more than happy to put Elijah Mitchell into your jelly on our Christmas vacation show a couple weeks ago. Ended the season as running back 29, missing 5 games, 759 yards, 5 touchdowns. No touchdowns through the air. How are you feeling about Elijah Mitchell moving forward in that offense and everything? I think he's everything that a 49ers running back should be. He's missed some games. He does good when he plays.
He gets hurt. He's
missed some more games. Then he does good when he plays.
Yeah.
Misses a game. Somebody else does good. Those are my concerns.
Yeah, so much like when we talked about Ramondre Stevenson, I feel like the 49ers backfield isn't as bad, but it has similar traits as far as, you know, Jeff Wilson can come in and play, Mostert can come in and play. They're kind of.
Was that the team you were talking about that you said you had a team that you had similar concerns to the Patriots, but you weren't going to get into it?
Yeah, yeah, Elijah Mitchell and the 49ers. And actually, you know, just talking about next week instead of like next year, next week we should have Elijah Mitchell back. I'm starting him in championship games. I'm excited to get him back. I think he gets the lion's share of carries. But what if Trey Lance starts?
How do you feel?
And that is next year, right? So what we're going to see in this week 17 in our championships when we start Elijah Mitchell is we're going to see the effects of Trey Lance or a running quarterback on Elijah Mitchell, because we already have Deebo Samuel taking touchdowns. He has 7 rushing touchdowns. Jeff Wilson isn't going to disappear. Jeff Wilson, remember, was hurt all season, so he's going to come in there. He's going to come in there a bit, right?
See, and then that's my concern. I like where you're going with saying Jeff Wilson isn't going to disappear, and I don't think he will. But my concern is who's going to disappear and when are they going to disappear and why?
Exactly.
Like
how
in the hell did Brandon Ayuk get in the doghouse so deep at the beginning of the season? And then when does he come back? And when does Elijah Mitchell get so cocky that he gets in the doghouse for a little bit? And then maybe we see Trey Sermon. And I know everybody's like, nope, he's done, but not in this offense, man. Like there might be a chance that you see Trey Sermon earn some respect and get some pride back within that offense in the off season. We just don't know. Do I think that's going to happen? Am I saying to go by Trey Sermon? No, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying like, I don't want really much of the backfield here. Kind of like you said about the Patriots yesterday. I just I agree with you. If I have Elijah Mitchell and he's playing, I'm going to start him in my playoffs. But if there's a sell opportunity, especially if he does good at the end of the season here, I really want to move on. And it's not because I don't think he's going to have weeks when he can help you again. Truth is, much like we said about Palmer, a higher pedigree here for the running back in Mitchell, but much like we said about Palmer, you'll know when you can start Mitchell. But it's my concern of just how this offense goes. And if he ever does get in the doghouse and how that actually happens, how do you get in the Shanahan doghouse? Like, what are the little things we don't know? So that's my concern, honestly. And does Trey Sermon ever get some run? Because to me, it's not even like Trey Sermon sucks. It's you're in the doghouse. We don't know how good you are yet.
Yeah, Trey Sermon's name is going to come up in the preseason next year as he's progressing nicely, and then we're going to see a swell of Trey Sermon truthers just kind of feel good about themselves because Elijah Mitchell, you know the.
And then Raheem Mostert starts.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't think Mostert's on this team next year.
I don't either.
But I think we're going to be talking about those two names. And the third name, and I'll bring it up one more time, that we're going to be talking about is Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. And then if you can throw in the conversation about, you know, Deebo vulturing as well, it really drops Elijah Mitchell's stock. I do think Elijah Mitchell's the lead back on this team next year, at least the first half of the season. So there's going to be like non-believers say, well, they're going to draft somebody or, you know, Trey Sermon's going to be the guy and you know, whatever, or they're going to split time or they're going to say all these concerns I'm worried about. So I think there's value next year. I'm just always concerned about beyond next year.
Yeah. Much like the next guy on the list, to be honest with you, somebody else you mentioned with Gainwell that you thought they should sell and Michael Carter, who you might still have an out on this weekend if you have a contender or even if you throw him on the block. Sometimes a contender will come after a player, even if they don't need him, just to keep away from the other team. You never know. Finero, Carter missed 3 games. Do you feel the same as you did weeks ago when you said you just kind of wanted out.
So the thing that I noticed in Michael Carter's absence while he was hurt is that the Jets did struggle without him. There's no doubt about that. I think they definitely struggle as a unit, and of course as just the backfield alone. So the offense and the backfield kind of struggled. I have my feeling on Michael Carter is a little bit like Elijah Mitchell with a little bit more upside, which is he reminds me of like Sony and Nick Chubb. Sony and Nick Chubb play together in Georgia, and Chubb was the better back. Carter played with Javonte Williams in North Carolina, and Williams was the better back. I kind of see the same future for Carter. I kind of see him being a guy there and maybe being replaced or complimented and then replaced, or
yeah,
kind of the way Sony Michel's future went.
Sure.
But useful again. They're going to have value. Carter will have value next year. I'm just concerned about his. And when I say long term, I'm concerned beyond next year. But when I say long term, like the year after 2022.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I'm the same way. I have no Michael Carter, no Gainwell, and I plan on keeping it that way. Price to acquire Carter to help me this week in my playoffs isn't what I want to spend for my future, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, we talked about a little bit when we talked about Pat Freiermuth. So the number one tight end in fantasy scoring history, tight end five, and we kind of like are disappointed with the 949 yards that this guy has put up. Hasn't missed any time. He's taken a lot of coverage. I don't think too many people are super worried about Kyle Pitts, right?
No, I don't think so either. I think it's we mentioned this on a previous show about expectations. If your expectations were for him to have this type of season and that was disappointing, then your expectations were too high. Like you said, this is one of the best rookie seasons we've seen from any tight end in history. He's 128 yards away from breaking the rookie tight end receiving records held by Mike Ditka so many years ago. If he does it in 17 games, in other words, one extra game, which he will probably need two games to do that. There'll probably be an asterisk there with the added game, but there's no asterisk on this guy. He's a stud.
Yeah, I agree.
Plain and simple.
Absolutely, dude. I'm gonna trade alert you.
Ooh.
Shout out to Dynasty Trades HQ. I feel like you almost have to shout them out for that.
Probably.
So this trade is, you're in this league, not in my division. I'm the number one seed in my division, and somebody sent me, they want my Josh Palmer and my fourth round pick, which would be a projected 16 overall for Finero.
Okay.
Because we're only four team divisions. It's a rookie only league.
So wait, I'm sorry. What? So is the 16th overall pick?
Yeah. Projected. Okay. Yep. If I win. Projected 16 overall. I'm sending Palmer and that 14 for Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I kind of want to accept it and send Josh Palmer and add Amon-Ra St. Brown to this contender.
Damn, I like both sides for different reasons.
Because that fourth round pick in this league isn't, and people are like four, you know, six. I mean, this is actually a big league. It's like, I think it's like, but we have different divisions and it's a rookie only league. It'll be in year two. I would be trading Palmer and the projected 16 overall. So it's not like it's a deep fourth round or anything, you know. Mm-hmm. Pick 48.
Yeah, I want the points I can get from Amon-Ra now. We talked just last episode about I think we're going to have to wait a little longer for Palmer than we want. I think he's got a third-year breakout in him, where Amon-Ra, I'm getting the points just next year. So, yeah, I'll go Amon-Ra on that side.
Yeah, I just accepted it.
Just now?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it just hit, and I thought it was kind of interesting just with the players we've talked about the last couple shows.
Later in the show, I want to drop three names that people should be, or two names that people should be looking at that aren't on this top 20 list for the same exact reason.
Ooh, that I like you did. That. Yeah.
The same exact reason you did. There's two names that I feel like need to be mentioned before we get done these two episodes, and I'll mention them quickly.
I'm guessing they're not Jalen Waddle. Wide receiver 11, missing a game. Still has a chance to get that reception record in, he needs nine more to tie it. 10 to beat it.
Yeah, dude, I think he's got an excellent chance.
Yeah, what a great season, man.
Yeah, this is back to, you know, that earned target again. Like the passing of the guard has happened. Devontae Parker, I mentioned mid-season, was eating into production, but Waddle was still there. It's not like as soon as Parker came back, Waddle dipped. He still was getting healthy target volume. Right. Now, Parker didn't see a single target last week. After reeling in another 10 receptions on Monday Night Football, Waddle now has 96 receptions on the season, which already makes him second.
Yeah.
And if you project targets out again, which I think you absolutely can with this kid, he doesn't really get less than 10 very often.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's right there, dude. Nine catches, and he's there.
This stretch that Miami's had, the 7 games in a row that they've won, do you think they've shut down the Tua trade rumors? Or should I say Watson trade rumors?
This is unfair to say because I'm just one person, but I was low on Tua all season, and I'm changing my mind.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, right?
Yeah, it has. It's what you want to see. It's what you want to see week to week, which is just getting better week to week. If you can get better week to week, that makes me optimistic about any player, whether you're a quarterback or otherwise, but quarterback in particular.
Yeah.
And Waddle has the Titans, dude. The Titans are a great run defense, which makes them just a pass funnel. So, yeah. I mean, this is double-digit targets again for Waddle. So, look for that record to get broken.
Yeah. Sorry, and Tua's done this with a lot of mind games, too. Like, he's had to, like, stay pretty strong mentally to be where he's at today.
Yeah. You mentioned that in the past, and I know what you're saying. I feel like I made a generalization in my mind when you said that there's a decent amount of quarterbacks that I can list that have gone through similar type things, but not like Tua.
No.
Not quite like Tua. Tua's situation is unique to his own journey. And you're right, it has been kind of plagued with a lot of different obstacles, and he's overcoming them, which is another really big good sign for a quarterback in the NFL.
And we don't know what he hears in the locker room when he's talking to the coaches versus what we hear in through the media and what the coaches say to us. So maybe he's had things that they say to him that gave him more confidence than what the media would to us. Sure. So you never know. I forget what I was going to ask. Move on to Javonte Williams, running back 15 on the season, playing with Melvin Gordon. These are good numbers, guys. Like, we have some of our running backs through their rookie seasons end with like RB20, RB23, 24. We've had guys and we get pretty excited, and they're not even playing or not always playing with somebody like Melvin Gordon in front of them. Javonte managed to finish the season RB15. Pretty damn good year. Didn't quite break the 827 yards on the ground, but 3 touchdowns through the air.
He's already a top 6 dynasty running back. Dynasty Trade Calculator has him at 3. DLF, 5. Dynasty Nerds, 9. Dynasty Nerds, 9. That averages out to 6. He's already 3 a top is 6.
Really high.
We mentioned that. I think Dave, and when Dave was on the show maybe 4 weeks ago, we mentioned that felt too high to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that 5 to 9 area is pretty fair, given his age and what he's done. To your point, like, you know, Swift had to deal with all this too, but Swift didn't come out as RB15.
No.
The season he did, right? Swift had very similar challenges ahead of him, and we've seen that with other running backs. But to be RB15 on the season, to literally be sharing the field 50-50 almost the entire season, I say almost because I think Williams was allowed to play one game without Melvin, it's pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody is ignorant of that. It's one of the biggest names in Dynasty right now, one of the hottest names in Dynasty right now. If you don't love Javonte Williams, then you're on the other side of the fence, and there's quite a few people on the one other side.
No, yeah, I'm with you.
It's hard to defend not liking him.
To not like Javonte Williams, you're just trying too hard.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Let it go. I wasn't super high on Devonta Smith coming into the season, but he has overexceeded my expectations for sure, especially getting the ball from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Number 2, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver 8, absolutely exceptional. 112 targets. He's only caught 68 of them. From a pretty decent quarterback. I know he takes a lot of coverage, but he's also got T. Higgins, Boyd out there, really good running back. Why aren't these receptions higher?
We got 3 excellent wide receivers on this team, or maybe at least 2. Tyler Boyd is capitalizing on the Higgins and Chase coverage. There's really nothing more we can ask of Chase at this point. He's a 21-year-old wide receiver. He's already a dynasty top 3 wide receiver. He's tied to borrow a 25-year-old who just had a top four in NFL history game with 525 yards and four touchdowns. Their offensive line is just going to get better in years to come. I mean, this is the place to be if you're a wide receiver. So if he's got to share it a little bit from time to time, welcome to the NFL. You know, he's actually right up there. I was curious what you thought for offensive rookie of the year. NFL odds have him right behind Mac Jones.
Wow, really?
Right behind, like neck and neck with Mac Jones.
I'd rather give it to Jalen Waddle.
Waddle's,
especially if he gets that record.
Yeah, Waddle's in a distant third. I know that's not sitting with you well, but these are Vegas. I get odds. It
with the way the NFL is and everything, yep. Honestly. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even just Ja'Marr Chase, and that's what I was referring to. Like, I know who he's playing with, but why does he have 112 targets and he hasn't even, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Why isn't he at like 70, 80% catch rate?
Right. I think it's what Dave would like to say is the average depth of target. I think Chase is going more downfield than a Waddle is. So those balls are less accurate, harder to catch, more time for the DBs to catch up to you, and I think that's why.
Sure. Or if you're targeting Ja'Marr Chase when you're throwing it out of bounds, like purposely mm-hmm. throwing it out sure. of bounds, that yeah. still is a target to Ja'Marr
yep,
Chase.
That gets, yeah, you don't see that in stats. That happens yep. too. I think Waddle just has, Waddle, it's not taking anything from Waddle at all. I think the fact that he's as distant in the Vegas odds as he is incredibly surprising to me. But with that being said, the record could change that, to your point. I mean, that's how the NFL does react. I mean, I think he has a really great shot of breaking that record, and I think that's going to bring his odds up. Those odds were of yesterday, December 29th, so they're very, very recent. And it's crazy different, Swags. Like, it's not even close.
But the NFL is also crazy. Like, if Amon-Ra St. Brown had the exact same stats as Jalen Waddle,
yeah,
he wouldn't even be in the talks for MVP.
I agree.
Even if they were exactly the same, he wouldn't even be that third, like, distant runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Jalen Waddle won't win it compared to Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase could have worse numbers and still have an edge over Jalen Waddle, is what I'm saying.
I agree. Najee Harris is fourth, Javonte Williams is fifth, and Devonta Smith is sixth.
But that is why we do it right here on Rookie Fever. And you'll have a chance to participate in the Rookademy Awards.
Love that you teased
that. And help us nail it down. Doesn't mean Ja'Marr doesn't have a chance. We'll see how you feel, Rookie Fever in Twitterverse. But I like Ja'Marr Chase, but I just as soon go get Higgins for a little bit cheaper, even off that big game he just had. I just as soon go that direction.
Higgins is good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Absolutely, dude. Joe Burrow is a lucky man.
He's just very good.
Number one, no surprise here. Najee Harris, running back 338.6 points, about 1,300, almost 1,400 all-purpose yards. I don't know what to say. I like Harris a lot. I think people are too hard on him for how inefficient he's been in his situation. But what I'm looking for in the end is an RB3. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he had a little. I hate to call it a slump, but there was a downtick weeks 12 through 15 where he saw less than 15 total touches.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, he had a 10.7 point game, a 7.6 point game. I mean, it was literally the week after you called him consistent or more consistent than Ja'Marr Chase.
It was our fault. Cause I think It was also our fault about Amon-Ra St. Brown.
It was
kind of like giving up on him. We started scolding him and he was like, oh my gosh, how did I disappoint my boys at Rookie Fever?
I called out Elijah Moore right before he went on his tear.
Yeah.
We have a great effect on the NFL.
Magic powers.
I don't know what the hell it is. So championship week, this is what people want to hear, right? So week 17, what can we expect out of Najee Harris? Najee Harris is going up against the Browns that boast a top 10 run D. Does that scare you coming off some of these games? No worries. If you look to week 8, because they're divisional opponents, they've already played them, where he had 26 rushes for 91 yards and a touchdown, 3 catches for 29 yards, and 27 fantasy points. That's the kind of Najee Harris you're going to see in week 17. Hope he wins you a championship.
Yeah, I like it. And if you need a running back and you don't have Najee Harris, maybe go try to get Michael Carter. No, don't do it. Listen to what we said at the beginning of the show.
Awesome.
Not even in your playoff teams. Finero, who are some of those guys you want to hit on that aren't on this list?
Yeah, so no surprise. Everybody knows about my tight end garden. There are two sneaky tight ends, and I'm going to mention both of them by name.
Wait, I know one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to mention both of them by name so you guys can write it down. I've already put offers out for both tight ends in multiple leagues, and I think they're gettable. Brevin Jordan, for sure.
That's the one I was thinking.
Yeah, Brevin Jordan.
Another one.
He was just outside the top 20 rookies in the season at 21. Yeah. He caught 4 for 4 last week for 56 yards in Sunday's 41-29 win over the Chargers. Jordan was active but did not play in week 15. He had some, I think it was like a hand injury. He finished second on his team in receiving yards. Had 8 touches.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's not on the season. It was just last week.
Okay.
still. It's all about recently with him. So overall, you know, just in this short period of time, I would say the last four games, Jordan caught 19 of 27 targets for 169 yards and 3 TDs. He's absolutely beaten out Jordan Atkins for a tight end on this team. I have no doubt about that. If you look at snap shares, it's completely reversed to the point where in week 16, this is when Brevin Jordan went 47% and Jordan Atkins went down to 1%. Only tight end 44 on the season, so he's hiding in plain sight. He is tight end garden worthy, I promise you, Brevin Jordan. This is a name that at one point was right behind and associated with Pat Freiermuth in the offseason coming in. I think Brevin Jordan has shown us enough in this late part of the season to try to get some.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, he's in the tight end garden and he's barely blooming and he's already very noteworthy.
Absolutely. There are rookies that don't make it into our top 20 that absolutely are dynasty assets. In 2017, Aaron Jones, Chris Godwin, Dalvin Cook, all outside the top 20. 18, Gesicki and Chark. The list goes on and on. There's people outside of this 20 that can contribute to dynasty teams. And I think Brevin Jordan's one of them. The other one is Tommy Tremble.
I should have guessed. Damn it.
I should have given you the opportunity to guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ian Thomas is a free agent after this year. I don't know, honestly, if they've seen enough to hold on to him. There's a chance that they do. I don't think he's going to be expensive, but and that doesn't even bother me if they did hold on to him. I think Ian Thomas is more of a blocker at this point, and Tommy Tremble could be that pass catcher on the team. Mm-hmm. They drafted him in the third round. I don't know. I'm pretty optimistic. Since the week 13 bye, he's absolutely out-snapping Ian Thomas, 60% to 30. So, yeah, Tommy Tremble, I think, is another tight end stash. And then the only other name that I wanted just to ask you one quick question about, the very unfortunate injury to James Robinson, which is a very late season Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
What does this do for you and your thoughts on Travis Etienne coming back?
I mean, it's a concerning time of year to get an injury like that. It's obviously something I've had to think about because I still am attached to James Robinson and mm-hmm. I've thought about going to acquire more. But through the injury, I mean, there's a whole healing process and Travis Etienne's going to go through it as well. You know, I mean, this is a team now that might even be looking for a running back to start the season as they see how ready Etienne is and James Robinson.
I don't know the
timetable on James Robinson either.
The timetable on James Robinson would be very similar to Cam Akers. Same injury, same youth. Like we talked about when Cam Akers went down.
So there's maybe time.
We didn't have – it's 9 months.
Yeah.
That almost guarantees he starts the season on the pup. And he starts the season on the pup, with as early as Travis got hurt, I'm thinking Travis doesn't. Travis gets the first 3 to 4 weeks without any competition. And when I say any, no competition from an RB1 like James Robinson. There's going to be other running backs, mm-hmm. sure. But I think this does lay down the red carpet for Travis just to show what he's got. Now,
he's coming back from an injury we don't know much about, though. Like, as far as, like, players coming back from. We don't know how he's going to be or what he's lost. Whereas I think James Robinson is dealing with an injury that we have more confidence that he can come back from. We know a little bit more about it.
About the Achilles?
Yeah.
I think that's the exact concern I have is that we just don't know enough about the Achilles. I feel if it's an ACL, MCL, sure, but Achilles, like the only people we have right now are Marlon Mack and we have and now Cam Akers. Now,
right.
You know, I think Cam Akers is is being kind of lauded for his remarkable success and having the possibility of playing week 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even could be an outlier, and that was 9 months. So I feel like it's tough to, with very little players going through that injury, to know. But to your point, Travis Etienne, you know, has with the Liz Frank injury, that's got to be a very, very difficult injury, obviously, for a running back to go through as well. So I don't know what the data is out there on the Liz Frank. I would argue that injury is, there's more data out there for it, but I'll look into that deeper, because now you have me curious, because I was starting to get
I'm not
more excited about Travis.
I think James Robinson will find a role in the NFL still. And I mean, I know, like, going back to Cam Akers and Travis Etienne, and when those injuries happened around the same time, we felt we had more confidence in Cam Akers to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still how I feel about James Robinson and Travis Etienne, even if James Robinson is going to be behind Travis Etienne in the recovery process. I think that I still have more confidence in him coming back from that injury, even with Etienne being ahead in the recovery process. But as far as future goes, I think James Robinson is a NFL running back. I think there's a lot, it could be a lot worse for teams.
Yeah. And I wanted to make this about Etienne, who missed this top 20 for some Dalvin Cook like reasons, right? Like, Dalvin Cook is one of those names I mentioned on his rookie season that didn't make the top 20 purely because of injury. He is a first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
It was Urban Meyer that was pounding the table for him, and he's no longer there. That's a concern, right? Like, there's no allegiance per se.
Right.
We know what we have with Robinson. We don't know. I was just bringing up the simple fact that I think Etienne gets a chance to show what he's got before Robinson comes back from injury.
I think so too. I think you're right. I'm interested in Etienne.
Yeah.
But
I think it just upticks his value a tad, because I think it's a little bit more rosy than before the injury.
Yeah, I agree.
And nobody wanted that injury to happen.
Yeah.
Robinson killed me on playoff teams being out.
Guys like Travis Etienne, J.K. Dobbins, they're similar to rookie picks right now, whereas they're just going to gain value every day. And Travis Etienne is one of those players you should have got mid-season, a little bit after the injury wore off and people thought they'd try to hold when they needed players. You should have been trying to get him on the cheap, and it's probably a little too late. Feverish, do you have final thoughts?
I do have a final thought for you. Trying to decide between two final thoughts. I'll just give you this one. There's 7 billion people on Earth, and sometimes each of us just feel like a separate piece of dust floating in the cosmos, like, doesn't matter what we do or what we say, right? There's 7 billion of us out there. It doesn't matter. It does. Each of us is kind of like at the center of a network. You're going to know at least 1,000 people in your life, at least enough to like make an impact on them, right? And each of those 1,000 people are going to know another 1,000 people. So you're only like one step away from a million, and only two steps away from a billion. We're all networked in this way. And that's how our daily or even minute-to-minute human interactions work. So if you do something you shouldn't, it's a lot worse than you think. And if you do something you should, it's a lot better than you think. The simplest way to sum this up, don't forget to be awesome.
I love it. Don't forget to be awesome.
One of my favorite phrases from you guys.
Shout out to Fantasy Awesome Football Breakdown, 2-drink minimum. Happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah, man.
Happy New Year, Finero. Happy New Year, Dave. I am at Swagzilla0G. He is at Artbark TV. Follow at FF_spaceman. We are at Rookie Fever, and we are out. Yeah, get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever.
but you knew if it started long ago now.
Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this stupid fool and run. I told you anyone, size and speed, just on real landing spot, not ideal. Wait, what's his breakout? He's full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Wow, give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.